Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. We have as our special guest once again today, Brother Rich Overman. We'll be dealing with biblical worldview as relates to biblical creationism. But before I introduce Rich to talk with us about Genesis, an overview of Genesis 1 through 11, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. The Bible study hour, Sunday school, is at 9:30 a.m. The Sunday morning worship is 10:45. The evening worship is 7 o'clock, and then our midweek service is 7 o'clock for a fellowship meal, Bible question and answers, singing, and prayer time. We'd love to have you to join us any one of the three services. Love to have you as our special guest, even this Sunday morning for the 10:30 worship service. Before I introduce Rich to us to talk about Genesis 1 through 11, let me remind you that this is a listener participation program. You can join in the discussion, ask your questions, join in the dialogue, ask your questions relative to that which we're speaking on or any other subject that you would like to have an answer on. You can call us at 401-1413, that's 904-401-1413. Be delighted to discuss your issue, talk with you about that issue that you're positively looking for an answer on. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." If the Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," and he's speaking of the Bible, when we're looking for answers, we look to the Word of God, not the philosophy of man, not what some person says or politician says or some psychologist may say, but what does the Word of God say? May I simply interject this before we introduce Rich to come to the microphone and discuss Genesis 1 through 11 with us? It's pertinent to understand Genesis, by the way. It is the fundamental foundation for all that we find in the Word of God. Every theological doctrinal truth that we find in the Scripture is introduced in seed form in the book of Genesis. But the recent Pew Research poll talks about Americans giving up on God. Rich, I don't know if you've read this article or not. Dateline Washington Examiner, half of Americans who have left their churches no longer believe in God, leading a surge of nearly one quarter of the nation who have no affiliation with any religion, according to the new research of Pew. Pew Research Group said Wednesday that 49% of what they term nuns, N-O-N-E-S, left their church and religion because they don't believe, that is, they do not believe. 20% said they don't agree with nor like what is called organized religion. Other reasons included common sense and a lack of belief in God and miracles. The survey is the latest from Pew that demonstrates a growing trend in America of more and more people junking, that's J-U-N-K-I-N-G, junking religion, and many have totally given up on God. I believe one of the problems, Rich, that causes that is a disbelief in the biblical creation story and what God says is the way he has created this universe. Talk with us today. I'm going to give most of the microphone time to you without my interjection and interruption that much. If you call in, though, ladies and gentlemen, feel free at any juncture of Rich's presentation of an overview of Genesis 1 through 11. Jump in the discussion by calling 401-1413. One of us will answer it. Be delighted to entertain your questions. Rich, tell us something about your passion and what you're teaching, about something about your creation ministry, and what God has got you doing, and what we need to understand about Genesis 1 through 11.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. It's a pleasure to be with you again. I always appreciate you giving us the opportunity to speak to your listeners. And we have a ministry called Creation Education Resources. It's actually local to the Jacksonville area. And we just do whatever God wants us to do as far as spreading the word of truth about the truth of creation and the lie of evolution. My wife and I got into this ministry back in the early 1990s, and God has just given us a whole lot of different opportunities and ways to serve Him. And if people want to have us come and talk to their group or whatever, they can just contact us at cer@creationeducation.org. And we'll be happy to come to talk with them.
Perhaps it'd be good to give them that email address again.
Yeah, that's CER, stands for Creation Education Resources, CER@creationeducation, all one word, .org.
Wonderful. That'd give an opportunity to have you to come into the church or in their schools, Christian schools, or other institutions to be able to discuss that, to impact lives for eternity. Tell us about what we find in Genesis 1 through 11. And tell us, first of all, why that is important and what we need to understand. By the way, there was a new article by way of the news about a new planet that's been discovered. Tell us something about that as a segue and an introduction into what you're going to teach today.
Yeah, I saw that article today, actually, in the newspaper of a planet that's only a little over 4 light years from here. And it's in the so-called habitable zone, where it's not too close to its sun or not too far away. And the problem is, with satellite speeds that we have today, it would take 78,000 years to get there. But they're also talking about a little probe that weighs about a gram with a camera on it that can travel 1/4 the speed of light that'll get there before the end of the century, they say, and be able to take some pictures. But scientists get all excited about all this, and astronomers, because they think they're going to find some evidence of extraterrestrial life.
Yes.
And the Bible is very clear that God created man on this earth in His own image, and there's nothing in the Bible that indicates that God created life anywhere else. The whole idea of extraterrestrial life is really an evolutionary-based idea that really has no basis in fact. And so I was thinking about what to talk about today, and thought about, you know, that Genesis chapter 1 through 11 is probably the most ignored section of Scripture from the pulpit. And in fact, a lot of seminaries don't teach the truth of Genesis 1 through 11. But Right. As you think about it, Genesis 1 through 11 is really not only the foundation for all doctrine, as you said, but it's actually the foundation for all science.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do is just kind of walk through the first 11 chapters and just talk about how it is the foundation for all science and all doctrine, because Genesis 1 through 11 gives us a global perspective. If you look at the book of Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible kind of focuses in on the foundation of the nation of Israel and Christianity. But Genesis 1 through 11 gives the global perspective of how we got to the point where the Bible could focus in on Abraham. And so just walking through it, Genesis chapter 1 establishes God as the creator. And that's important because God is outside His creation. He's outside of time. He's outside of nature. He's outside of every aspect of creation. And so as the creator, He can control all that. And He tells us in His word that He is in control. And so as Christians, we can trust that God is in control and that God controls creation because he is the creator. But not only does it establish God as the creator, but during this creation event that's described in Genesis chapter 1, God has laid the foundation for the physical science. He established the laws of physics that operate today and that we study. He established the foundations for the science of astronomy and for the science of biology. He created DNA. He wrote the DNA code that we study today. All this was done in the first chapter of Genesis. He established the foundations for chemistry and zoology and every other physical science that we study today. The foundations for that science was laid in Genesis chapter 1. And then in Genesis chapter 2, God sets the stage for mankind. Of course, he created man in Genesis chapter 1, but in chapter 2, he establishes the basic relationship between God and man and between man and woman. So he basically establishes the social order of things. And this then becomes the foundation for the social sciences. And then in chapter 3, God then describes the original sin, and which also then describes the breakdown in the relationship between God and man. And so now we have an understanding of right and wrong through Genesis chapter 3, which is also part of the social sciences that we deal with today. What is right and what is wrong? And so chapter 3 provides that basis for what is right and wrong. And then when we go into chapter 4, God establishes again the basis for morality. He talks about basic laws, and it's in chapter 4 where we read about the first bigamist, and we read about murder and things like that. And so chapter 4 just basically describes what immoral behaviors are and establishes that basis for morality and law. So what we can see is that really actually chapters 2 through 4 provide a foundation for all the social sciences that are studied today. So we have the foundation for the physical sciences have been established, and the foundations for the social sciences have been established.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us, we're listening to Brother Rich Overman from the Creation Education Research Center here in Jacksonville, and the email address he will give to us again. And he's discussing the overview of Genesis, the first 11 chapters. It is vital for we as Christians to understand what Genesis 1 through 11 teaches. It is the seed, it is the basis, it's the foundation for all doctrines, all theology, and all that we find in the Word of God. Genesis is a book of first. You find the first man, the first woman, the first surgery, the first anesthesiology, etc., etc. And he's doing an overview of Genesis 1 through 11. You can participate in this discussion if you'd like to ask a question as he teaches through. 401-1413 is the telephone number. Love to have your call. Love to have your input, your dialogue, your questions. Rich, continue if you would for us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And if anybody wants to ask specific questions, they can just email me at cer@creationeducation.org. So now we're up to chapter 5. And chapter 5 is really an interesting chapter to me. It's one of those chapters that if you have trouble going to sleep one night, you might want to try to read it. But it's really a very important chapter because it starts to deal with how long ago God created everything, or as we say in the creation world, the age of the earth. And and the way I look at it is basically chapter 5 is the first step in God establishing the earth's birth certificate, mm-hmm. or it's the beginning of the genealogical record. And so God goes through in Genesis chapter 5 and gives you the information that you can plot everything out from creation to Noah and know how long ago God did that. So that then establishes the basis for the science of what we call geochronology, or the chronology of the earth. So chapter 5 is the beginning of what I call the universal birth certificate. And then in chapter 6, we see the total breakdown of society. Man has just gotten so bad, and society has just so totally broken down that God then decides that he needs to bring judgment and punishment upon man. And so chapter 6 also describes the preparation for that judgment and punishment. This is where we also understand the consequences of right and wrong, the consequences of doing wrong, and that this judgment and punishment that God is going to mete out on the earth is right. God has the right to do it because he is God, because he is holy and perfect and righteous and sovereign, and because he is the creator, so he has the right to do that.
Absolutely.
So then we move into Genesis chapter 7 that describes the first half of the flood of Noah's day. Some people call it Noah's flood. It was actually God's flood. But it describes the first half of Noah's day, but it also shows God's love for mankind, because God could have just destroyed everything, including Noah and all the animals. He could have destroyed everything and just started over and created something new, but he didn't, because he loves mankind. And so he provided the ark as a way of salvation, as a way of demonstrating that love. And that ark then becomes a precursor for Christ, who came to die on the cross so that we could have a restored fellowship with Christ, with God, that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden before they sinned.
So what you're saying is, as the ark that Noah and his family were in safety, if we're in Christ, he is the ark of our safety.
That's right.
Wonderful.
That's right. And then we move on into chapter 8, which is the last half of the flood. It talks about the waters receding and the ark coming to rest, and Noah sending out the dove and so forth and coming off of the ark. And so we see that chapters 7 and 8 then provide the foundation for what we would call today as post-flood geology. So the science of geology, the study of the earth itself, is the foundation for that, is seen in Genesis chapter 7 and 8. Then we move to Genesis chapter 9, where God has reestablished his relationship to man. Man is still in a sinful nature, so God has to reaffirm morality in Genesis chapter 9. He does that with the account of Noah being seen in a naked state, and Cain seeing the nakedness of his father. And as I contemplate that, it strikes me that in today's day and age, a son seeing the nakedness of his father would not be really that big of a deal. But back then it really was, because Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, realized that they were naked and God clothed them. So you could just imagine, we're still only a few generations from Adam. And in fact, if you look at the genealogies, Noah's father could have known Adam. So It's just really interesting how morality has decayed over the centuries from that point to now.
If I can interject this thought, Rich, and I know recently I've talked with several people that's in the political realms, candidates, et cetera, and some have indicated they're against capital punishment, and yet they're avid Christians. Most are not aware of the fact that God sets the standard, and when you talk about that and the establishment of God's relationship with man and reaffirming morality in the 9th chapter, Genesis 9:6 says, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for he is in the image of God made he man." And as a result of what God says, and if God created it, if God said if man is going to kill, that is murder, man, then his life is to be taken. So you find there the introduction of capital punishment in Genesis 9. So I just find it fascinating that there are many people today that are simply not aware of what the Scripture says in the first 11 chapters of Genesis.
Yeah, it's true, and it's partly because of what I said before, that even from the pulpit, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are the most ignored portions of Scripture, but they really provide really the foundation, like you're saying, for capital punishment, for all sorts of things. It provides the foundations for that. And in chapter 9, God is reaffirming that there is something like right and wrong, that there is a difference between right and wrong. But he's also providing that promise to mankind that he would never again destroy this earth. And he puts a sign in the sky as a rainbow. And I just always think about that every time I see a rainbow. It's just such an amazing promise from God. You know, he's going to destroy the earth again, but not by a flood. And then we move into chapter 10, which is the Table of Nations. And again, that's one of those chapters that God provides the information that you could continue to map out the age of the earth from, in this case, from Noah to Abraham. And then we have recorded history since Abraham. So if you may have heard that creationists, what are called young earth creationists or creationists, say that God created everything about 6,000 years ago. And where did 6,000 come from? Well, that's where it comes from. If you map out the genealogies from Adam to Abraham using Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 10, and then we have recorded history since Abraham, that's how we come up with about 6,000 years.
Generally speaking, Rich, when I hear people, and sometimes you see it on a television broadcast, especially on the History Channel, or one of the channels that's giving indications of stories, and they start out with 50 million years ago or 60 million years ago, you know, you're about to hear a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. Because we study the Scripture from a biblical worldview, we realize we've got a very young earth and not an earth that's millions or billions of years old. So it's very vital in that realm, I believe. Go ahead.
Yes, we do. And I always like to associate it as a birth certificate. I know that I'm 58 years old because I have a birth certificate that says I was born on December 6, 1957. Well, God, I think, knew that this day and age we would be arguing about billions of years versus thousands of years. And so he established in Genesis the birth certificate for the earth.
Yes.
So that we could know when he did
it. Go back and validate it.
That's right. So that's the Table of Nations. And also what we see in chapter 10 are the foundation of studies of families. We can really start to look at the family structure. And that's, again, part of the social sciences. But the studies of families can be taken back to Genesis chapter 10. And then we get to Genesis chapter 11, where we hear the famous account of the Tower of Babel. And you notice that I don't call it a story. I don't like to refer to these Genesis accounts as stories, because that has the connotation of a fairy tale.
Right.
But the account of the Tower of Babel is there, where God told man to spread out over the earth, and they didn't do that. They stayed all right there in the Mesopotamian region, and God said, well, we can't have this. So he confounded the languages, and he created all these separate languages, which now that gives us the foundation for the science of linguistics. And that when the people group, the languages were confounded, and then the people who spoke the same languages, which I kind of tend to think were along family lines, just to a large degree, they started to spread out throughout the earth. And that also, Genesis chapter 11, helps us to understand that there's no such thing as races of people. There's a lot of talk today about...
Talk about that some.
A lot of talk today about racism and so forth. And there really are no races of people. There's one human race. And then after that, you have people groups. There are cultural differences. There are linguistic differences. There may be even some superficial... visual differences, color of skin, shape of the eyes, and so forth. But that's all superficial, whereas inside we are all children of God. We are all the creators of God, and we are all related in one way or another back to Noah. So
cut the vein and you've got that Adamic blood in all of us.
That's right. And so there really are no races of people, and the sooner that we understand that, and the sooner we live by that, I think the better off we'll all be. And this whole idea of races of people is an evolutionary philosophy that really took hold in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and with the founding of Planned Parenthood and things like that. It was all based on this whole idea of races of people. And so we see from after Genesis chapter 11, then God starts to focus in on Abram and starts to work through the history of the Jewish nation, which then leads to Christ, who is the Redeemer, who is the seed of the woman that's going to strike the heel of Satan that God promised in Genesis chapter 3, and then Christ being the Redeemer. So that's just kind of an overview of the first 11 chapters of Genesis that really, I think, helped to put not only the Bible, but helped to put our scientific studies into perspective.
Absolutely. And would you say, and I know that you would, but I want you to elaborate on it in a few moments that we have left, that it's imperative for a family, a parent, a mother and a dad, or a mother if there's not even a dad in the home, but for a parent to make sure that sons and daughters are instilled with the understanding and the truth of at least the first 11 chapters of Genesis?
I would say so. In fact, I would encourage people to, parents or young people, to go to the I Love the Truth website and go back to the iPod of this broadcast and just play it over a few times. We went through it so fast, and then read through Genesis 1 through 11 and follow what we're saying in the broadcast and try to dig deeper into it. It'd make a great family study to really understand, because it is the foundation of all scripture. It's important to understand it.
So when we look at the term Genesis, it means first or beginnings. And it's the first day and the first night, the first man, the first anesthesia, the first woman, the first surgery, the first marriage, the first family, the first sin, the first death, the first of mercy, the first capital punishment, the first fight, the first covenant, the first murder, the first fugitive, the first drunkenness, the first polygamy, the first substitute, the first division of languages, the first call upon God, the first rapture, the first mention of grace, the first blueprints, the first invitation. I enjoy the study of Genesis because it is the book of first, and we look at the first things. And when you see in the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, that sets the stage.
Yes.
And so for this thing of evolution that's being taught, and moms and dads listen very carefully, be careful with what sons and daughters, boys and girls, that God's given us as a gigantic treasure, be careful with what they're learning. Be sure that you balance what they're taught in the evolutionary system at school, that you teach them the Word of God, that you teach them that we're created by God, created in the image of God, and therefore we're valuable in the sight of God. And teach them the book, first 11 chapters in particular, the book of Genesis. I'm delighted, Rich, that we've had this opportunity for you to come and to teach through, give an overview of the book of Genesis. You can go to Rich's website. That is CER.
CER@creationeducation.org is the email. The website is creationeducation.org.
Love to have you go there and research some of the other materials that he has. I'm thankful again that we've had this privilege. Thank you for joining in today with us. Be looking forward to being with you tomorrow at this same time and on the air at 5 o'clock. And God bless you for listening.
IBM Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.